listener.
Kick Bump acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yolukut Wulam clan of the Boon Wurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to the Kick Bump podcast, your fortnightly D&M on all things motherhood. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Kick Pump. I'm so excited for today's guest, Katie Lawlers. Laws and I have known Katie for such a long time. I've followed her online for years, and you might recognize the name and her voice once she's on if you're a long-time listener, because she was actually on the Kick Pod way back at the very beginning in 2019, and that was before she'd had kids. And she now has two, little Harper and her son Eli. So Harper's around Harvey's age, so about three, and her son Eli was born just in July last year. Unfortunately for Katie, she lost her sister Nadia around the same time her daughter Harper was born, her firstborn. And on today's podcast, we talk about grief around childbirth and how she dealt with that. Such an important person in her life, losing Nadia. As someone who knew Katie and had known Nadia through Katie's content online, you could just feel how much of a big and joyous soul that would have been to lose in her life. And I couldn't even fathom going through that around that postpartum period as well. So Katie very generously speaks about how she got through it. She also got diagnosed with depression in her postpartum period as well. And she shares a lot about that as well. So she also shares how you can help people in your life who might be grieving, which was very helpful. But before we get into that, I have a little quick RV update. I'm not going to talk about his sleep because as you might know from last time, it's still all over the shop, and that's okay. But what I wanted to say is what I'm enjoying at the moment is my post daycare chats with him, because his little vocabulary is coming together at the moment, and it is just so fun being able to talk to a little person and trying to just understand what he's trying to say. But it's becoming clearer and clearer. And the other day it was so funny. I thought he was, because he's kind of in this stage where he also knows how to like fib, or like his imagination runs wild and you don't really know what's true or not. But he was talking about this wasp situation at daycare. And I was trying to work out, because Josh hadn't told me anything, I was trying to work out if he was telling the truth or not. But it started with they saw one wasp at daycare, and then there was like a whole swarm of wasps inside, and like everyone got bitten, and Harvey got bitten, and he was saying there was like holes on his face. And of course I was like, what in the hell happened? And why didn't I hear about this? It turns out that unfortunately one of his friends, little Elijah, did get bitten. But other than that, it was Rose, his teacher, who had bites all over her, and every other child was totally fine, and it was all good. But it was just quite funny trying to decipher what happened through his speech and what he was saying, and then obviously getting the actual rundown from Rose the next day. So that was obviously a bit of a shocking situation to hear all the story, but I do find those chats really fun and funny usually. And it's quite funny because when I've shared them online before, a lot of people were, especially childhood educators, have given me some tips on how to get more out of your child. So if you're asking your toddler what they got up to in the day and they don't really have much to say, apparently if you ask them things a bit more specific, like what did you do outside, or you talk about lunch, what did you eat at lunch, and you just ask those specific questions a little bit more directly. I tried it and it does work. They actually do end up telling you more. So just a little tip from some childhood educators that slid into my DMs on social media. And that's about it. I would love to leave the rest of the time for your ears today to this conversation with Katie, as it is such an important one to talk about grief. We don't talk about it enough. And it was just an absolute pleasure to get to catch up with her personally as well. Katie, hello.
Hi, it's been a really long time.
Such a long time. I've been looking forward to this chat though, and just to catch up with you, and also to congratulate you again on Eli, who's almost, is he almost one now?
He's almost 9 months, so we're not far off. Only a few months ago. Okay.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
He's the size of a 2-year-old. So he's a very tall boy. Yeah, probably.
But you and SG are too, so no surprise.
That's right.
Yeah. How are you going? How is it? How's the transition been from having one little Harper to two?
Look, it has been more challenging than I thought it would be because they're so close in age. They're only 2.5 years apart and their needs are so different and they're both so needy. So I wasn't expecting how confronting it would be to see how upset Harper was when Eli came along. And I thought we'd done all the prep to get her ready for it. We read the books, we talked about it. We, you know, she'd pat and she'd kiss my belly every night. So she's quite an affectionate little girl. And when this baby showed up and I was busy feeding him a lot of the time, and when I gave birth, I wasn't super well, it was quite frustrating for her. And it manifested in these intense tantrums. And she didn't really want a bar of me, which was heart-wrenching. So that was really, really hard. And then, yeah, just being torn between the both of them, obviously. The bub needs you so much, so regularly, and not being able to spend that quality time with the toddler who can't really wrap their head around why mum isn't available to me all the time. It took us a good 3 months for her to really even want to look at him. She was never aggressive or rude towards him, but when he started to interact with her, it started to get a bit better because he's like smiling at her and, you know, trying to like just interact with her. And she quite liked that. And that's when we started to see her mood change and her be more open to the having a sibling, really.
Yeah, of course. Some of my friends who have got two, they say what they're struggling with is that like they can't really all be together as a family. Like often their partner has to take the toddler and then they'll kind of like have the bub and it's just like one-on-one for most of the time. Have you found that as well?
Yes. So usually SG will take Scott, my husband, for those that might not know, will take Harper and I will take Eli just because I'm still feeding. So a lot of the time he needs me to comfort him, help him go to sleep. And so he'll take her. But look, it's been great for their relationship. They're like even closer than they were. I think before Eli came along, Harper would just opt for mum. She just wanted me to like meet her needs and comfort her. But now a lot of the time she chooses her dad. She'll be like, it's okay, mum. Dad will help me. I'm just like, oh, that's a bit heartbreaking too.
But also so nice. It's so nice. And it's also really nice when you can kind of share the load and when that, when like they're very comfortable with both parents. I know Josh and I are kind of, it's a hard one because for Josh is the primary carer. So you would think that like he's kind of the go-to for everything for Harvey. And obviously throughout the day he is because he's the only one home. But when we're actually together, we're actually going through a stage right now where as soon as I'm home, like Harvey doesn't want to borrow Josh. Yeah. Like don't try and tie up my shoes. Don't even sit next to me on the couch. Get out of the room. It is all about mum right now when I'm home.
How mean are they sometimes? Toddlers are ruthless. Goodness me. True. It's awful sometimes.
No, it's so
I want
true.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rough.
One day we can remind them of these times. It's also like, so with the, I've always been interested as well. I know it was obviously a very, very different time for you, which we're going to talk about in today's conversation, you know, the early months with Harper being in the world and where you were at versus now. But them two as individuals, have you found that they're like when Harper was 9 months old, kind of similar or are they really different?
They're really different. And I'm not sure, I mean, I'm sure this plays into it. Maybe I'm a different mom now and I'm more calm and I'm more confident in myself and my decisions and I can decipher their needs a little bit better. But Eli seems quite chilled out. And look, he'll really only cry if he's like overtired or he's hungry. And it's much easier for me to figure out what he needs. And he's just like a chiller baby. Whereas Harper, and she still is quite fierce and emotional and I mean, it's great. I mean, that's the kind of woman I want in the, you know, as the future woman of the world. She's confident and she's outgoing, but she is wild and demanding. And yeah, it's intense. I call her my Hurricane Harper. So they seem very different. So yeah, my gentle babe and my fierce female.
We love. That's awesome. It's so nice to be able to see two individuals brought up in the same household, like be so uniquely different. That's so good.
Yeah, for sure. I think Harper maybe takes after my personality a little more when Eli's takes after his dad, who's a bit more like chill and calm than I am.
Who knows what he'll go into, though, you know? Maybe it's like all toddlers are a little fierce and crazy. I don't know. Harvey's a little bit like that too.
Yeah, probably.
So today, I would love to go back in time if you obviously feel comfortable, but your beautiful sister, Nadia, who passed away in 2021, I would love to talk about that because I think something that comes up often in our kick bump community is people who are dealing with grief through either their pregnancy or like maybe they've just had their child. It's like, unfortunately, I hear of it quite often, and just the idea of going through something like that, would love you to discuss, like, how long was it between Nadia passing, which was so sudden, and Harper coming into the world?
So I was 35 weeks pregnant with Harper, when Dad, I was 35 weeks pregnant with Harper when SG walked through the doors and told me that my sister had passed away, and I gave birth to Harper by C-section at 38 weeks. So there was only a few weeks there. And honestly, thinking about it, it still feels like an awful dream. Like saying it aloud to this day just sounds like it didn't happen. This can't be real. It's still really a bizarre thing to wrap my head around, to be honest.
Yeah, of course. No, I honestly couldn't even imagine. And Nadia was so prominent in your life as well, so much, and which was so evident from people following you for all these years. They would absolutely know that and remember that. Do you mind giving a bit of background for those who might have not been following you? Like, what did Nadia mean to you in your life?
We had a different kind of sister relationship because she had autism. So I was kind of like one of her carers as well. She wasn't the kind of sister that I could, you know, tell all my secrets to or ask for advice from, but she was the kind of sister that just brought so much light into my life. And she was so fun and creative and kind and affectionate, and she literally just walks into a room and she would just captivate everyone with her smile and her willingness to want to connect and be friends with people. So yeah, she was like kind of like my first child. I know that's a really weird thing to say, but I always looked after her. I looked after her when we went to school together. I looked after her after school. My parents actually ended up making me an enduring guardian for her. So legally I could advocate on her behalf and ensure her needs were met in the NDIS system, because like my English is much, much stronger than my mum's. My parents are both migrants. So it was easier for me to make sure that we were getting what she needed. And I was more than happy to do that. So she was, my little babe, my best little sidekick. Like the last time I saw her was just a week prior to that, I was heavily pregnant, obviously, 34 weeks. I took her to see a musical, Frozen, and it was just a normal day. It was like I picked her up from home, drove her into town. We watched the musical, went back to my place, had some dinner, dropped her off home, gave her a cuddle, kiss, goodbye. And just, a week later, she passed away. And it was just harrowing.
I know. And I'm so sorry. I think Nadia didn't just bring that like light and love to those in your surroundings, like even just online. I know I felt so much joy in seeing the joy that she brought you, but also just like to your followers, I'm sure. It was such devastating news. And I think knowing where you were at with your pregnancy, I wasn't far behind you. I just couldn't even fathom that. So when I'm sure a lot of it's a blur, so it's totally fine if you don't have a lot of like clear memories from that time. But when you said you had a C-section, was that a decision you made after Nadia passed, or was that something that was already planned?
That was already planned. I have factor five. I've had some back issues before. So there's some medical conditions that, you know, led me to believe that that was the best option for me. And in hindsight, it was absolutely the best option for me because of what happened too. My parents actually told SG to break the news to me. And he, before breaking the news to me, called my obstetrician and was like, I'm freaking out. She's so heavily pregnant. This is one of the most important people in her whole life. Is she going to be okay? How do I tell her that her sister's not here anymore? And my obstetrician immediately connected me with a grief counselor So literally like 2 days after Nadia passed, I was at the hospital speaking to this woman who actually took me into the theater, gave me a tour of like how the day would go when Harper was scheduled to be birthed. So it really gave me a sense of control over a situation I didn't feel like I had much control of in my life at that point in time. And we were in the middle of COVID as well. So like the world was really different. My family felt like it was breaking down. And then I had this little bit of control, or I felt like, okay, on the day I'm going to birth Harper, I wasn't as nervous because I saw where I had to sign in that morning. I saw what the theater looked like. They helped me pre-choose a room that I would stay in before, and they made sure I had the same room when we had Harper, just so that there were less unknowns for me and that would help me feel more calm and in control because I was not very well at that point.
No, of course. And I mean, then even after that point, like the postpartum period for any woman is wild. And there's so many complications, and even with hormones and emotions and everything, like it's a fucked time, to be honest. So you,
mate, isn't it?
Not only went through that, right? But you were also grieving, you know, your dear sister. So like what did you even get to grieve? Like, I mean, it's so good to hear that you were so onto getting into like counseling and therapy and stuff, but like, did you even have a chance to grieve when you're like got a baby attached to your boob every 2 hours?
I honestly think that that is what sent me into a bit of a like a spiral, because I felt like I didn't have the space to grieve, and everyone kept saying to me things like, you know, you've got this healthy baby. And look, I did have a healthy baby, and I was so grateful for Harper being born. And I wanted to be a mom for so long, and it wasn't easy for us to conceive. We'd been trying for such a long time. So it was such a special and important time in our lives, and I was happy about all of it, but I also needed the space to feel sad for my sister. Like, she was 31 years old. She was one of the most important people. We lived together until I was in my mid-20s. I lived at home with my mom and dad. So she was the room next door to mine. She was, like I said earlier, more than even just a sister. She was kind of like my first little child because of our relationship. I cared for her so much. I was so heavily involved in everything in her life. And I just found it really hard when people were telling me just to focus on the baby, because I had so much guilt. I'm like, yes, of course, I'm happy that I've got this baby, but I feel guilty for not being able to grieve this important life.
Yeah.
So I was really torn when I felt guilty as well, or what I felt guilty about when I was grieving for Nadia, that I had this beautiful life and this husband that loves me and this, you know, great home and this healthy baby. So no matter which way I turned, I felt like I was torn. There was just so much guilt for being happy, guilt for feeling sad. And I felt like I pushed so many people away from me, and because I felt like I was hard to be around because I didn't know how to process those feelings. And I started to isolate myself because I didn't know even how to articulate what was going on. These emotions were just so foreign to me, and just how like contrasting they were.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's one of those things, right? Parenthood in general, like you have those contrasts of feelings towards it, because I think is proved to me, and I just wish that there wasn't that pressure from everyone else, that you can't be really upset about something and equally feel incredibly grateful for something else in your life at the same time. Like, that can exist.
It can exist. Absolutely. I mean, my kids drive me insane. Like, I can feel rage for them 1 minute and then I love them at the same time. Yes, for sure. It was just really, it was such a strange time with Harper, especially because the world we lived in, it feels like something out of a dystopian novel, doesn't it? We were in lockdown. It really does. No one could come and visit you at home. So I was grieving with this baby that was unsettled and screaming. And I couldn't wrap my head around, why can't I settle her? Like, this child lived inside of me for over 9 months and I'm unable to help her settle and feel calm. And so I took a lot of that on myself.
Of course.
It's hard not to, but I've since learned I'm a facilitator. It's really up to the children to learn how to do things. And all I can do is try my best to help them learn how to sleep and help them learn how to like manage their emotions. So it was a steep learning curve, to say the least.
100%. And when you're a new mum, you just question everything. You question what you're doing in every. I think like you eventually start to realize that like your instincts and like your gut feelings and everything end up being right most of the time. And so you can lean into it a little bit more. But in the beginning, it's like you see all of these different contradicting things, particularly online, and you just don't know, you don't trust yourself to know what to do. And so you just question everything. So I definitely relate to that.
Yes, and everyone's got a different opinion, and sometimes it can be thrust on you, which can be confusing and, yeah, just really unwelcome at times. I'd rather sometimes to just figure things out myself. Alternatively, if people offer options without telling you what you should do, I think maybe the modality of conversation needs to be thought about when speaking to a new mum, so it's more suggestive rather than commanding you what to do, because there's always going to be one, like there's no one right answer, because every person, every kid is so different. There could be lots of right answers for your kid. So it can be really confronting when someone's trying to tell you, this is the way you should do it. I did it this way. You're doing it wrong. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. One, two, three, four. And so in this time, you were also diagnosed with depression. So when did that happen? At what point was that? Was it, and did it come from someone else? Did you seek help yourself? Like, what did you identify and just talk through that kind of time?
I was such a mess. I think I mentioned the feelings I was feeling. So during the day, I feel like I would pull it together and just, you know, try to go for my walks and manage Harper the best I could. And then at night I would be up feeding. And then in between the feeding, I would just cry and cry and cry and cry. Because also during the day, I felt like I needed to pull it all together for my mum and my dad, who it was hard for me, but I can't imagine what it's been like for my mum and my dad. Like just thinking about losing one of my children is just, I can't even wrap my head around it.
Mm.
So I think the lack of sleep and these emotions I was dealing with kind of led me into this spiral where I just wanted to give up. I didn't think that I could add value to Harper's life. I didn't think I could add value to my husband anymore. I didn't know who I was, what I was doing. The world looked so different to me. And it was SG that really encouraged me to keep seeing the grief counselor. So I'd see her maybe once every couple of weeks. So she came to my house once as well, and it was her that suggested that I go to Tresillian. It's like a service. It's actually a great service for your followers to know about in Australia. Mm. It's government funded. So it doesn't cost anything to go there if you get a referral to go there, and they can help you with feeding, how you're feeling, whatever you need, really. There are nurses there 24/7. I stayed there for a whole week and they helped me figure out a routine, learn how to feed Harper, have someone to talk to. And while I was there, I met a psychologist that I really connected with. I just found her really understanding and down to earth. And I kept seeing her, and it was her that like continued to connect with me and diagnosed me with the depression. But I also think it was, you know, having her there and speaking to her and having someone outside of my everything being able to give me a little bit of perspective and that I could be really honest with really helped pull me out of that darkness as well. It took a while, but yeah, I can't recommend if someone's feeling alone, speak to your GP, get a mental health care plan, go to Tresillian. There are lots of people and services out there, especially here in Australia, that might be able to help you. You don't have to be alone. And it is so isolating being a new mom and grieving even more so. And it's something that we don't talk about a lot because, you know, who wants to talk about grief? It's such a heavy feeling, isn't it? But unfortunately, we're all going to experience it at some point. And it's so important to know that you're allowed to feel what you're feeling. And it's really important to reach out for help because you probably can't pull yourself out of it on your own. And, you know, we need to ask for help, and we need to, just make sure we're looking after ourselves.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, like the support that we can have from those around us is one thing, but I do agree. I mean, I'm in therapy at the moment, but I think having that non-biased opinion that you can just be 100% truthful with and know that nothing that comes out of your mouth will be judged in any level is so refreshing and so, I don't know. It's allowed me to process things. Exactly. Freeing. It's allowed me to process things that I just like didn't think I would ever really understand or get through or whatever. And it's nothing on the people in our lives that love us. Like it's not on them. They're not, not trained in that way. Their support is incredible, but it's just sometimes you just need that person who is so unattached to any other part of your life other than you sitting in that chair and like talking through what is going on in your head for them to just validate exactly what you're feeling. And as you said, allow you to feel like it's completely okay to not be okay.
100%. And yeah, just give you that objective perspective and yeah, so, so important. I can't recommend it enough. I recently stopped seeing the same psychologist. I kind of cut down my meetings with her or my sessions with her just to like eventually once a month and then once every couple of months. And now I'm like, I feel like I'm okay now, but I know that if I ever starting to feel like I'm in a dark place or I can't process things on my own, that I would reach out again just to help figure things out.
It's so good. And I mean, speaking of the support and those in our lives, our loved ones that do support us, like you've already lightly touched on how incredible Scott SG has been in this time. How did he support you through that point particularly?
He was great because he didn't offer unwarranted advice and he kept encouraging me to get up and go see the psychologist or be open to staying in hospital for a week with Harper. Because at first I was like, I don't need to go to hospital. I don't want to see a psychologist. There's nothing wrong with me. I was starting to get really defensive about it. I didn't even want to fathom that I might not be okay. I wanted to stay in control of everything in my life. But he, never really pointed out the things that I was doing that were just probably a little unhinged at the time, which is good because I think I would have bit back really hard. And he just kept encouraging me to see professionals, which was awesome. And giving me the space to just vent without offering anything in return, like genuinely listening. I think a lot of the time when we have conversations with people, we're very quick to assert our experience and try to fix things and talk about, oh, I remember this time this happened to me and it was really similar and blah, 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 instead of just listening and soaking it in and asking more questions and giving that person that's going through the hard time a little bit of space to kind of figure things out. Because it's almost like cathartic being able to say something aloud and have that space to hear it back yourself and being even questioned on it a little bit further can be really helpful.
No, I think it's incredible. It's a great reminder as well, because especially with our loved ones, you do, when you hear them venting about something and you feel for them, often we do feel like we want to kind of be able to relate to them in some way or like figure out a memory of a friend who might relate in some way or think we have some solution to what they're going through. And really sometimes the best thing to do is to just be there.
Just listen. Mm. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it went both two ways. So either people would offer too much advice or they would not speak to me at all. So I think that really contributed to the loneliness and the feeling of isolation. And I totally get it. Like I said earlier, it's such a heavy experience to go through. A lot of people feel awkward. So they were either asking me really intrusive and inappropriate questions about like why Nadia died, how she died, and just trying to get me to relive this trauma. And look, we didn't have any answers. We don't know why she died. There's still a coronial inquest into why she passed away. So to just be either hammered with all these questions, given all this advice about, oh, you should be just focusing on your baby now and you're so lucky to have like X, Y, and Z in your life, or they wouldn't say anything at all. Friends just kind of disappeared into the background.
Yeah.
So I was just like, what is happening? I felt so lonely and didn't just want to spend time with anyone because I was like, this is all too hard. I can't process all of this. So it kind of contributed to me feeling alone and falling into this darkness.
100%. And how do you feel you remember Nadia now? How is Nadia in your lives now? Like, what does Harper know of Nadia?
Oh, she's great. So, so funny. At my mom's house, there's a photo of Nadia at the bottom of the steps. And in my language, we actually speak Arabic. We call her Nadud. It's her nickname. And so my daughter, every time she walks past the picture or goes upstairs, she's like, hi, Nadud. Oh. Hi, Nadud. I'm like, oh my God, it's so cute. But look, we talk about her a lot. And I've made a really conscious decision now not to visit her grave anymore. For the longest time, I thought that me going to her grave and paying my respect there was what I needed to do to show her that I loved her. But then I realized that it was kind of sending me into this spiral. And every time I'd go visit her grave, I would just dig myself into this deep, dark, angry hole. Mm. I realized that I don't need to do that anymore. And I can, I'm sure she knows how much I love her and how important she is. And I can just talk about her in my everyday life and make sure, you know, we've got lots of photos of her around my house, and I can pay my respects to her in other ways without sending myself into this sad spiral. Because I don't want to remember her. I don't want to remember how she passed away. I don't want to remember her being buried in the ground. I want to remember everything that we did together and all the laughs and all the joy she brought to my life and everyone else's. So
yeah,
that was a good lesson that I learned to, yeah, do what's right for me and be able to respect and honor her in my own way without hurting myself as well.
Yeah, good on you. No, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I would love to finish up on, as I mentioned earlier, we do hear this come up in the community of someone maybe going through something similar. Maybe they've lost someone really close in their life while they're pregnant or in early postpartum. So you've already touched on how someone can be there to support those people in their life. If anyone's listening and they know of someone who's going through it, it's just to be there, to listen, not to drop off the face of the earth, not to ask too intrusive questions. What about to the people who might be going through it? What would you say to those people?
I promise you are not alone. We are all going to feel this kind of deep grief at some point in our lives, and it is so important for you to find an outlet to talk about it. Whether it's a professional, whether it's a close friend, don't handle this on your own. We're meant to be connected with one another, and find someone and keep in mind, you might not find someone straight away, but keep looking for that person that you can trust to help you walk through this experience, because you deserve to be supported and you will get through this. And look, grief is not a kind of pain that ever goes away.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it's something that you just have to learn to live with, and it comes in waves, and some days I'll be fine and other days it will come and it will hit me just as hard as it hit me the day she passed away. But it's getting, you know, fewer and further between, and I'm getting better at managing it when that wave does hit. So make sure you're reaching out to someone. You don't have to do this alone.
It's just been so lovely. I mean, I would love to like catch up properly off the mic with you, but it's been so
can we please?
So lovely. Yeah, I would love to. And thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for your generosity and everything that you shared. I think it's one of those things that's super personal. Obviously, like what you've been through, but sharing it with everyone else is just super generous of you, and I can't thank you enough for your time.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. If you would like to get involved with the Kick Pod or Kick Bump Pod, you can by going to our Instagram at Kick Pod and sending us a voice note or writing in a DM. And if you would like to join a bit of a virtual mothers group, we like to call it, our Kick Bump Facebook community is for you. There is so much in there, encouragements of finding your journey again after having a baby or questions during pregnancy. It's a virtual mothers group of love and support, and you are so welcome. So you can find us there. If you would like to learn more about Kick, you can go to our website, kickapp.com, or you can find us on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, where we have a 7-day free trial. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in your ears very soon. Bye.